The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And guess what? It is time to talk about puppy dogs and kitties, because this is Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Daycare. How you doing?
Hey, hey.
You made it.
I'm back.
God,
I just walked
you
in.
He was coming from an issue at the clinic, so yeah. He is an active, current, working veterinarian. Oh, and I was holding my breath. I said, well, I can play Van Halen for only so long.
Well, I was getting some pictures of a little dog named Johnny Cash.
Oh, gosh.
Long-term client. And, Ed and Betty Bodie are wonderful clients. Uh-huh. And retired people and all. So,
take a deep breath. Catch your breath there.
Yeah, I was doing about 100 on 110.
You did good. You made it.
Don't tell FHB, but
listening.
Been gone. I just want to tell everybody. I appreciate you tuning in. I've been gone 2-3 weeks. I've had a heavy surgery schedule.
Yeah, you have.
And I operate on Tuesdays and Thursdays, mm-hmm. And so it got to a point where I had so much cancer stuff going on. I had to kind of take a break. So this Wednesday, Wednesdays are going to be our day.
And, oh, good. Okay.
Now,
I like it. Yeah.
I think we're booked Wednesdays throughout the rest of the month, every other
Excellent.
Wednesday.
Excellent. Well, it's a good day of the week.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah. And it keeps, I get through seeing my clinic in mm-hmm. the morning, and then I've got, time to come. And I love doing the show, and I love everybody tuning in, and hope everybody's doing well.
Well, it's a good time of year. If you do have any questions, I know some of y'all have been waiting for him to get back. So this is Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark Sprayberry, and he's got the answers to your questions. Because you know what? This is the Pensacola Expert Panel, and he's a veterinarian and an expert with years and years of experience with both cats, dogs, and other animals. So text those questions in at 850-437-1620. Well, fall is here, so what does that mean for us?
Well, it's spooky stuff and Halloween candy and all that.
I see a lot of people dressing up their pets.
Correct.
I bet there might be some warnings from the vet on that one.
Well, it's a fun time of year. For people that don't know me, I own Olive Branch Pet Hospital on Davis. It's across from Bailey's Farmers Market. And I've been in town for about 24 years. I've been practicing about 30. And we do everything at the clinic. I do a lot of cancer work, a lot of chemo from time to time. I'll do chemo for Mississippi State, Auburn, Florida. I'm currently doing some chemo for Florida. When you have cancer, the first 4 weeks, typically you have to go in every week. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's a little bit of a jump. Hops get my jump to Auburn and Florida and Mississippi State. So, anyway, that's something that we've been pretty active doing, and that's kept me busy. But the Play and Stay is my boarding facility, and we have a daycare there. Now, I call it the psych ward with my own pets going to it, people, okay? It's not,
it's a huge facility. It's not just, like, sometimes you see the boarding is just kennels. This is not that.
There's no kennels. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own room, and it's 4.2 acres, and between the clinic and the Play and Stay, it's about 13,000 square feet.
Wow.
So, but I'm the only facility where I'm there. All the time. I'm there. So if there's any kind of scuffles or anything that happens, and it can, dogs will be dogs. I'm right there. I'm there most weekends doing yard work and things like that. So I'm there. And that's kind of a different thing from a lot of the other larger boarding facilities. But I want to mention the daycare. Haley and the ladies back there, Reba and all, they do little activities. And today, today is the pumpkin pie eating contest.
Oh, you're kidding.
At the daycare. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah, of course, pumpkin's safe to feed.
And I was just going
to
say, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
And Cool Whip is usually involved as well. Or,
I guess
you know,
the
whipped
crusts
cream.
Are okay, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so they have a big time. So check us out on Facebook.
Well, how does this work?
Yeah.
The pumpkin pie eating contest. I mean, now you got me curious. We got to go there.
Well, you know. Haley and Reba and them come up with all this, and I just give them the credit card to go get the supplies, and it's pretty incredible. But there's always something going on. There'll be something, you know, like at Valentine's, there's the kissing booth, and
oh my goodness,
you know, Thanksgiving there's going to be, you know, dress them up in pilgrim and Indian outfits, and of course Christmas brings, you know, a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they have a lot of fun back there, and they get the goal is to wear them out so they go home, eat dinner, and go to bed. And that's
I guess if they eat pumpkin pie all day, dinner's not an issue then.
Yeah, you know, hopefully, I'm trying to generate business, you know, get a little diarrhea in the next. I'm just teasing.
No.
Pumpkin apparently helps with that. But nonetheless, it's a lot of fun, and we've been doing it a long time. We tend to take care of a lot of sick pets that come in, so we're set up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what we're doing, and we do a good job.
Difference. Well, that's 850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Dr. Mark Sprayberry, sit, stay, and listen. We are now into the fall season, so we were just talking about pumpkin pie and costumes and such.
Yeah.
What about, the Halloween candy?
Yes.
There's a debate out there I've heard about chocolate and dogs. So can you clear that up for us?
Well, chocolate, one piece of chocolate, folks, is not going to kill your dog. Okay. One raisin, you know, grapes and stuff are toxic to the kidney. A little bit of anything probably won't kill you unless it's like strychnine or cyanide or something like that. And
that
might be a little different situation. But as far as chocolate and that kind of thing. So chocolate is the more expensive dark chocolate that has the theobromine. That's what their livers cannot tolerate. It also has a lot of caffeine. Well, the good stuff really has quite a bit of caffeine in it. Your less expensive stuff, not that it's safe to give, but if they get a couple pieces, it's not going to be a big deal.
Okay.
So, but I want everybody to hear, Chelsea, my wonderful head nurse at the office, has an app on her phone called the Chocolate Toxicity Calculator.
Ooh.
Okay. Chocolate Toxicity Calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about that is we'll have one come in. I'll say, okay, Chel, this is what we got. And she gets her phone out and starts, you know, punching into it. She says, oh, it's okay. So it calculates the amount that's going to actually cause a problem.
Okay.
Okay. But in that being said, Meg, I always want my listeners to know that hydrogen peroxide is your friend. Okay.
Oh, okay.
As long as it's not something, they don't swallow something sharp or caustic, it doesn't hurt to get them to throw up.
Okay.
And once you do it, it usually takes an ounce or two of peroxide, different for different size dogs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, get a little peroxide, kind of pour it down their throat, and eventually they'll kind of start foaming at the mouth a little bit and kind of like licking their lips. And that means something's coming up. And that's, if you can do it, you know, soon after they eat it, the more the better, because you want to limit the absorption, right? Now, sometimes we have to use Toxaban, which is a charcoal type thing. It's really nasty. It gets all over the place and all that stuff. But for the most part, you know, low peroxide is not going to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all, but just, and it's really not usually the candy that's the big deal. It's the foil, the wrappers, the boxes.
Oh, because they'll just swallow that whole because of the smell, right?
Correct. And what happens is then that's part of the obstructive part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, had a new client come in this morning there. Snowbirds from Michigan, really nice family, and they have a dog that came in, and it's had 4 intestinal obstruction surgeries. 4.
Oh, my gosh.
Like 4.
4 from what?
It eats everything.
Oh,
you know,
no.
What? The question is what does it not eat?
Oh, no.
Now, I had...
What breed is it, can I ask?
It was a lab.
Oh, okay.
Lab. She's about 12.
Oh, my gosh.
She doesn't really need any more surgeries, and... you know, you get that many surgeries, you got a lot of scar tissue in there.
Sure.
So everything's kind of jumbled up in there. So I certainly don't want to be the one that has to go in. But my most famous obstruction surgery. Surgeries. Uh-huh. I did, I think, opened the Siberian Husky up, I think, three times. One time, it ate a whole bag of food and 12 Barbie dresses.
What?
Yeah, I know.
In the same sitting?
I know. Exactly.
12 Barbie dresses?
Yeah, I stopped.
Why?
You know, I started pulling those out, and I thought, what the heck is, what is this? And all, and of course, the ladies are in there operating, Chelsea and Ileana, said, oh, yeah, those are like Barbie dresses. Because, you know, you can imagine it had all the food. We weren't sure.
Oh, my God.
And then there was some feminine hygiene stuff in there and some Supermax, Chelsea said. You know,
okay,
she's
well,
always,
that's from the garbage can, probably.
Exactly. And all that. And so it's, you know, they'll eat anything, guys. Mm. They'll eat anything. And one more little tip here. If you got a puppy, I had the bulldog come in today, and it's been bad about little puppy about trying to eat everything. Don't feed it just twice a day. Feed puppies three or four times a day. It helps reduce some of the scavenging, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, they I don't have, Kim and I never had children, but it's the type of thing I've heard that kids explain or they explore their environments by tasting it.
Interesting. Well, yeah, of course. The
Is that
little
right?
ones. I mean, yeah, yeah, when they're crawling around, right. Well, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I found that the craziest one I've heard of was my brother had a beautiful Siberian Husky, but that dog loved to chase tennis balls. So one day, just
swallowed the tennis ball. I know where this is going.
Swallowed the tennis ball. Didn't choke on it. Swallowed it whole. Tasted so good. Went to get another one.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's a big freaking ball.
He caught him before he got to the second ball. But he had to have, obviously had to have surgery.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't get hung up in the esophagus.
Well, no, it didn't. That was the crazy thing. It was like, gulp, gone. And he wasn't sure at first if he'd swallowed it because he thought, he was like looking around because he was fetch the tennis ball. So he fetched it and swallowed it.
Oh my God.
So that's
Lord have mercy.
He just survived, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, let's say they do swallow something. Let's just say.
Okay.
The sooner,
what do you do? Okay. You suddenly realize that your dog has swallowed something or cat that shouldn't have done that.
Correct.
What do you do?
Well,
if
it's a tennis ball, you do not want them to try to throw it up because it's going to get lodged in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've told this story once before, but I'll remind my viewers. When I was in veterinary school, we had a lady. It's back before cell phones. We had a lady was cutting up a roast on her chopping block in the kitchen, and the phone rang. Now, I think we had extended phones back there. But so she went in the dining room, wherever, to get the phone, and she had a pit bull. And when she came back, the roast and the knife was gone. Yes.
Oh, no.
And the dog,
it made
the front page of the Gainesville Sun. I went to Florida, everybody, but it was on the front page of the Gainesville Sun. And it showed the x-ray of the dog, and the knife part, the blade was up in the esophagus, and the handle was in the dog's stomach. So they bring it into the vet school, and Dr. Ellison goes in there, and he takes it out. And of course, we're all standing around, And I said, Dr. Ellison, he's one of the surgeons there, teacher surgeon. I said, you got the knife out? He says, yeah, and he was showing it to me. I said, well, what happened to the pot roast? He says, I left that in there. I thought he deserved it after all he had to go through to get it.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
So when they, if it's a piece of chocolate, you know, if they swallow something, a sock, a small, you know,
they get into
I used to love
to get into the garbage can, especially in the bathroom with the Kleenex tissues. Loved toilet paper and Kleenex.
Oh, yeah. my wife, you know, of course, God rest her soul, she died 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, my dogs, Shelties, would get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So we just started putting the garbage can on top of the toilet.
Right.
Well, to this day, Meg, it is still on top of the toilet.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah, 30-something years we were married, and that still is on top of the toilet.
That's
so
funny.
Anyway,
that's
but
funny.
The main thing is if it's sharp, if it's something they can't throw up, if it's caustic, you know, like not that they would eat gasoline, but, you know, I mean, they'll do anything.
Well, they can get in the sink, underneath the sink, and suddenly they're into the cleaners or Ajax or anything.
Correct.
So
you got to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. And it's better to detoxify that, which activated charcoal and things like that. And that's something your veterinarian will be able to handle.
Right.
But take in whatever they got into, please take in that bottle or the bag of chocolate, whatever they got into, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Please take that in because that gives me something to look at and say, okay, what is this? And poison control, you know, you can call poison control, but if in the middle of the night, if you get a hold of poison control and they say it's nothing to worry about, okay. If you have the chocolate toxicity calculator, that's wonderful to have.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, Chelsea has it on her phone for the clinic, things like that. then listen to what they say and do what they say. But if they say you need to get the veterinarian, get to one immediately.
Okay.
Because getting it out of the system, or preventing it from getting in the system, rather, is a problem. Now, we had a dog come in the other day. They'd gotten some guy's stash, marijuana.
Oh, boy.
And that can be a real problem.
Okay? Oh, I bet.
Okay, folks. So, if you do those kind of things, you have gummies or medically what you know, please keep them in a cabinet or a closet or something. Do not leave it out on the counter. This guy had left a bunch of gummies on the counter.
Oh, no.
And the dog got up there and ate a bunch of them. The dog ended up being all right. Uh-huh. But we had it on seizure watch, and we had flood it with fluids, and, you know, and he spent a couple bucks letting us do it. So we see a little bit more of that than you know, what we used to.
If you just join us, talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Plains Day Boarding and Daycare. If you have a question or a comment, 850-437-1620. And, Doc, we do have a question that came in. It says, for the vet, do y'all make home visits?
I do. It depends on the particular situation. If it's a dog that's pretty well behaved, yes, I will.
Okay.
It depends. I have to get know way ahead in my schedule so I can set it up. I do for established clients. I do euthanasias at home for certain clients, and some clients, you know, that's more of a somber moment here. But some pets just don't do well in the clinic. I mean, you know, and not picking on German Shepherds. We had two this morning. One was getting chemo for lymphoma. The other one was, I was just taking some stitches out that someone else had done the surgery, and it came open, so I had to put some staples in and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, some pets do better at home. But then some people don't want the memory of that at home, so they'll come into the office. So, yes, I do home visits for certain people and certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone out there is interested in that, please call the office and tell Brenda and Julia, my wonderful receptionists, what's going on, and they'll get the note to me, and then I will call you.
Okay, I've got another text that came in.
Super.
With the holidays coming up, we're looking at planning our travel. How far in advance do we need to make reservations for the daycare?
Well, the daycare is open Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We do open it up during the holidays for overflow of boarding.
Uh-huh.
The play and stay and the daycare are next to each other.
Okay, so they're two separate things.
But they're one thing.
Right.
And then the clinic's up front and it's separate, but all on one piece of property. And I usually tell people to go ahead and start making them now.
Okay.
Because if you're wanting it for Christmas and you're calling it Thanksgiving, we're probably already booked.
Right.
We usually tell people to start booking around September to October. So you're right there in the sweet spot about getting in.
This is probably a good day to do that if you're looking at your calendar, especially for Thanksgiving coming up.
Sure. I do require, all the vaccines, distemper, Bordetella's every 6 months, rabies, it can be 1 or 3 years, 2 years, whatever your veterinarian does, and influenza. Influenza is a disease in the state that is reportable. If they get it, you have to report to the state. So I do require it. Some people say, well, I don't ever get a flu shot. I personally don't get a flu shot either, folks. But this is a different situation. It's highly contagious, and it can be lethal. And so it's a thing. I've never had a problem at the office, at the play and stay or the daycare with anything, and I don't want a problem.
Right, of course.
That's the reason I require certain things. Your veterinarian may have a different opinion on that, but, you know, it's my office. I've been doing it for a gazillion years. We've never had a problem, and we're going to keep it that way.
So if they needed to, then in addition to booking the time, they probably would need to have an appointment to get those things done if they haven't had it done already.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And your veterinarian can do it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do it in my office, but if it's the type thing and you're on a tight schedule, a lot of times, you know, it's a fee. We run them up to the clinic, and I'll give them an influenza or something they need, or a Bordetella. The manufacturers of Bordetella, that's for upper respiratory, you know, they call it kennel cough. This canine upper respiratory syndrome is what it's called now, but it's kennel cough. And the manufacturers say that the vaccine works for a full year. Independent research has shown it's only 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one I do require twice a year. The others are once a year.
And then heartworm and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I like for them to be on heartworm and flea and tick medication just so we keep everybody happy there and we're not having any creepy crawler critters going you know, in and out. And we've never had a problem, but that's the reason I have these things in place, and I have a reason for it.
Well, it's great to have this show because someone just texted in they had never heard of flu in animals before. So we don't think of that.
Yeah, just a quick synopsis on that. One of my colleagues at University of Florida, Cinda Crawford, just a wonderful tells you like it is, that kind of thing. About 15 years ago, something got into a greyhound racing kennel in South Florida, and it killed all of them. Is it 79 or 100 dogs? You'd have to check me on it, but it was a lot. It killed them all.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, you know, of course, you know, the governor's office gets involved and calls University of Florida. It's the best school in, you know, in the state, and sends Cinda down there, and she discovered a new disease, and it was part of a influenza, like a H1, you know,
flu virus, basically.
It was like kind of like the human, but it was different numbers and stuff. And it was one type, and they changed. Anyway, so I called Cinda. I said, hey, Cinda, you know, I'm way over here in, you know, in Pensacola. Doesn't need to worry about that. And she said, well, I'm not going to tell you exactly what she said. And I said, well, Cinda, you can't talk to me like that. I'm not a student. I got a doctor in front of my name. And of course, we were laughing about it. It was pretty funny. But she's pretty adamant about it because at that point, it was in Atlanta, from Atlanta down to South Florida.
Gosh.
And then about 2 years, it was in 48 states.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not in Hawaii or Alaska, as far as I know, due to geographic differences. But it is a problem. And recently, there was a case in South Florida, South Mississippi, that was reported to the state. And then it's an issue that you need to take more seriously. Used to be very hard to diagnose. It's a lot easier now. Cinda's developed testing for it. And I'm not saying this to scare people. However, we had a guy, the way we kind of got in our area, a guy came down from up north to his winter home on 30A down in Dustin, and he went to a dog park and gave it to 75 dogs. His dog had it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
And that's kind of the why, when I heard about the vaccine was coming out, my rep said, you don't have to do it, but just in case a ton of bricks hit you in the head, don't say I didn't tell you so.
Right.
And then I called Cinda, and that's when she told me, well, you know, hell yeah, you got to get it. You better start tomorrow.
Okay, so they can call you to do that. We've got just a couple of minutes left here. We've got another text question that came in.
Great.
You've covered this a little bit, but this is probably for a little more detail. What fruit and veggies are best for dogs and not so good?
Well, no grapes, obviously.
I had a dog that loved grapes.
I know.
Loved grapes.
You know, it was anecdotal that they thought it caused a problem. And finally, what they did, they set it up to where they gave it to a couple of research dogs that were set for termination after the studies, and they saw how many it took, and it put them both in, it's more than two, I think it's three or four, both in renal failure.
Gosh, well, mine used to just play with them. Mm-hmm. They never really chewed it up, but just would bounce it and throw it up in the air and play with it forever.
Of course, you gotta be, you gotta be careful with the raisins too. My dog's like a little banana, they'll eat a piece of apple.
Those are safe?
Yes, I mean,
Any vegetables?
Yeah, I mean, I always recommend green beans and carrots, especially on dogs that are having a little weight issues. You can put that into the food. It's not much calories. It fills them up, and so you can back off their food and help them lose weight.
Okay, here's another text. This is loaded. You ready?
Oh, boy.
People food or dog food? Because right now there's a lot of commercials out there showing the dog food that looks like people food, and so it's interesting.
Okay. There's a lot of opinions out there, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you mine. There's three foods I recommend, and I don't get paid to do any of this, do I, Meg? I have no sponsors. I pay myself. I like Science Diet. I like Royal Canin and Purina, the Pro Plan, which is
And those are dry foods, correct?
They're dry, but they come in can. Mm-hmm. Some of these foods you see that come that I will not mention the name, but they're on they're refrigerated. And
so you order them online, and they look
online,
like human food. I mean,
correct.
People food.
A lot of that is marketing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't attest to the quality or the nutritional balance of that food, and you have to be careful. Okay, now, is it hurt during the holidays? Give a little piece of turkey during Thanksgiving, or you're eating a little piece of filet mignon. You only, give it a little bit. I mean, I'm admit to I do it myself, but that is minimal of what I give.
Right,
because dog food is nutritionally balanced. The one three I mentioned. And if you start throwing in a lot of protein and things like that, it throws that balance off of the calcium and phosphorus, and it can make them increase health of kidney, bladder stones, stuff like that.
Interesting.
So when it comes down to it, stick with a brand that has really been around a while, not something that's fly-by-night, it's been advertised on the internet necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, sounds great. All right, how do people get in touch with you to make those reservations and to get an appointment?
Well, I'm across from Bailey's Farmers Market on Davis Highway. It's Olive Branch Pet Hospital, phone number 850-477-2901. We're there Monday through Friday. if people have, my established clients have issues, they can call the play and stay on the weekend, and a lot of times I can handle things over the phone, or I'll go in and see them.
Awesome. Okay, we've been talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day.
God bless.